Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, July 4th, 2013. Well, tonight's program is a bit different from usual because instead of talking to an artist about their art, we're going to talk to someone whose life has recently been disrupted by events beyond their control. Singer-songwriter Carla Adolph is one of the 13,000 residents evacuated from the Alberta community of High River after floods in the area. In blog posts she's written about the event, Carla has talked about watching people delivered to the fire hall in gravel trucks and how her husband, Gary, a volunteer fireman, has continued helping with recovery efforts. Carla's on the phone with me from her temporary home and will be sharing her experiences about the flood and what those affected by the flood are in need of. But before we begin our conversation with Carla, let's take a listen to the song Invisible Lines from her Honeycomb Tombs CD.
Our misery started today, but our roads did not go the same way. Yours to the left, mine to the right. Our misery started today. Our hearts broke at the same time, torn along invisible lines. Mine was still beating, yours said goodnight.
And now to our interview with singer-songwriter Carla Adolph. Good evening, Carla.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Now, let's go back to the day that you had to leave High River. Walk us through everything, you know, what happened up to the point where you actually had to evacuate yourself.
So everything started pretty normally that day. It was a Thursday, June 20th, and my husband left early in the morning to go see if he could help at the fire hall. He's a volunteer fireman. And what was interesting about that day is this was his first sort of call, because he had been training up to this point. So we thought, you know, maybe he'd need some help sandbagging, or this is pretty normal for High River to have flood sort of challenges, but right, Nothing like this. Anyway, around 9:30, a friend of mine needed some help with getting a little bit of water in his basement, so I brought over a different friend to help him. And when I got in the car and drove through my town, I realized, and so the whole west part of my town was underwater at that point, and I live in the east part of town. And so I quickly came home and started to try and get the RV out of my yard, because my husband and I just bought a house, and we were living in the RV in the backyard with my son.
Mm-hmm.
And so I couldn't get it out in time, which was really just disappointing, and it was kind of crazy. And there's these two guys helping me with that, and one of them just said, "You got to go," and grabbed my three-year-old and my dog, and he threw those guys in my truck, and I grabbed some paperwork and my guitar, because I knew I couldn't replace that, and ran through knee-deep water that was just torrential. Like, it was just rushing into my yard, and it was just a really crazy moment. So that all happened in the morning, and then the rest of the day just kind of spent reconnecting with friends as we could, because the whole town was being shut down quickly, and ended up spending a little bit of time at a new friend's house in the east, more easterly part of town, and then ended up having to leave altogether and got reunited with my husband around 2 in the morning that day in Calgary.
So what was going through your mind as you're gathering all this stuff up and you realize, you know, you have to leave your new house, you've got to leave the RV that you were going to be staying in, you've been blogging about all this. But so what started going through your mind, especially when you started seeing that amount of water coming through? Because it sounds like, and from the media reports that we've seen out here, it sounded like things just happened really, really quickly. I mean, there had been a lot of rain in Alberta that up to that point in time, but in terms of the flooding, that it was like it just all of a sudden it was there.
Yeah, the best way to describe it is the term is really a flash flood, because it really was what it was. The river in High River, as far as I'm aware, but I've only been here for 2 years, is usually a more of a slow rising kind of flood situation, so we have a little more time to prepare. And my house has never been flooded, so it was just I don't know, it was just kind of one of those moments where I knew I had to take care of my son and my dog, and I literally only could grab two things. Like, I didn't have any time. And we just got out of there. You just need to get out, you know? And then when you're out, you sort of start thinking, oh, man, my house, and this and that and the other thing. And you do have, you know, those thoughts, what if, but you just can't. You can't in that moment when you have literally 10 minutes to get out. I mean, I had about 3 minutes, but it was crazy. It was literally went from a dry street to flooding my basement in about 10 minutes. So what can you do?
Well, you mentioned you grabbed your guitar because you knew you couldn't replace that. Did you lose anything else in the flood that you used as tools for writing your music and stuff like that?
Yeah, so I have a bag that has all my stuff in it, that, you know, things like tuners and pedals and, you know, that kind of stuff, and some merchandise that I usually bring with me. I lost that. And I'm not sure how my piano's on the main floor of my house, which I think is fine, but I haven't been able to go back. So I'm really hoping that the piano's fine, because that's very special to me.
Of course, all that humidity probably wouldn't help.
Yeah, I mean, we're just going to have to get it checked out in a few months. But no, actually, because we are renovating the house that we just purchased, we're in a really good place, because most of our stuff is in storage, which I was really thankful for.
So what about computers and files and things like that that you would have had from past projects or things that you were working on for the future? Did you lose any of those things as well?
Well, thankfully, I don't record on my own. I'm not that talented. So all of my albums are stored on other people's computers, the masters. And I was able to get my computer out. So, I only have a laptop, so that was okay.
Yeah. Now, some of the things I find is our artists are always thinking, and even in the midst of something like this, there would be artists that would start thinking about how they can use all of this in you know, future project or what they can do. Have you found yourself sort of jotting snippets down of things that you're thinking about that you might use for songs later on? I know you've blogged about it. You've written that. Are you finding your thoughts going in that direction at all?
Not quite yet. I think just the dynamic of being displaced is an interesting thing. So I haven't really felt like I've had time or space to just sort of wrap my mind around writing. But I can tell you, I feel like I grew up a lot. So I'm sure in my soul things are being written, but I haven't had a chance to actually sit down and access that with my mind yet. But I'm sure it'll come out. I'm sure that the grief project that I did last year will have different meaning now again when I play. And I'm just gonna have to see. I don't feel cathartic yet.
Okay.
I'm still kind of providing stability for my child and my family as best as I can, and still a lot of waiting. So in the waiting, I think some musicians would write for sure, but I don't tend to be that way. I think I'm a little bit more, I don't know, I like to keep myself a little busier. So we'll see, maybe in a few months when things settle down a little bit, I'm sure there'll be some stuff that comes out.
Right. Well, what I don't want to do is take a quick break, and then we're going to come right back with our guest singer-songwriter, Carla Adolph. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Winter is glass, museum grade, keeping me away from you. All I can wrap their arms around me and keep me from falling in. Come first, frost, all pale blue, covering you in porcelain. Rattle and clap, shudder and snap, when breath became wind. This freezing rain, this stinging pain, it's what is getting me through. Who can hold me? Who can hold me?
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Who Can Hold Me from Carla Adolph's Honeycomb Tune CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Carla. You sort of alluded to this just before we went to break in terms of some of the music you've written for the in the Grief Project might take on a little bit different meaning. But with Honeycomb Tunes, which deals with grief and loss, did you start sort of singing your own songs to yourself as you were sort of going through all of this stuff and thinking of what was happening?
Not really. I definitely have thought about them. I've thought about the people's stories that I read when I wrote those songs. But no, sorry, not really, to be honest. Actually, I haven't really had a ton of time to sit and sort of meditate on the whole experience yet. Mm-hmm. We're all really in a lot of work mode here, and so I think, like I said, soon I hope to have a little bit more time to just think and reflect. And you know, it's a little bit hard when you have a little person that you're taking care of that's also feeling
right. All
of the emotion of what's happened, and because we don't really know what has happened to our home, we haven't even seen it yet. We're just kind of in an in-the-moment kind of a zone.
Right.
So no, I haven't yet.
Now, how have you been able to sort of work through just up to the point where you're at and you know, that not knowing of what's happened with your home, you know, being displaced? I mean, I was reading your tweets and blogs and things like that as you were going through, and, you know, initially it was, you know, trying to find somewhere to stay, trying to find somewhere that would, you know, allow you to have a pet. You know, starting to look at, even starting to talk about other people that are that have been affected and how, you know, you've been trying to help them through things and that. So how have you sort of, you know, what has sustained you through all of this process right now?
Oh, well, I think, yeah, like, it's an interesting thing when you're in a sort of an emergency situation. It really kicks in, you need to take care of the things that provide stability. So for us, yeah, we needed to find a place to live. And because our house was in a state of renovation, even if our house was untouched, which we know it wasn't, we couldn't move back in right away anyway, because right now we have to figure out a kitchen and a bathroom still, because they're not fixed. And so stability, you want to provide some stability for your family and some sense of normalcy. So having a place where I can cook food has just been really important for me. I love cooking and being busy helping others. So even though we can't get in, I'm pregnant, so I haven't returned to town because it's a few health dynamics there right mm-hmm. now. But my husband has been going in and helping and volunteering at the fire department, stuff like that, where it's just like just staying connected and being available to help others. And yeah, that's just kind of it. Like, you're just sort of staying in the loop. And I feel like because I understand how to use Twitter and stuff like that for my job, I've been trying to use it to help others get good information, because, you know, there's all kinds of information out there right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been retweeting just the basic kind of information I can find that is helpful, and just sort of connecting my world with other people's stories, because it's so unusual that every person in my town has a story.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just the most interesting experience in life. And then, of course, any quiet time we can get to just sort of meditate and settle our souls.
Mm-hmm.
and rest and think about and talk about what's happened.
Yeah, and that's important. I mean, back in one of my other previous lifetimes, I was working for a denomination where I was responsible for disaster relief and disaster counseling, and was down in Princeton, B.C. at one point after a flood, and help in getting people back and normalizing, you know, what they're going through and what they're feeling, and giving them that sense of, you know, as much routine as they could will, you know, really helps pull things back together to that. You mentioned being pregnant. You know, has that added to some of the stresses and emotions and things that you guys are feeling as well?
For me, it's challenging because I can't be on the ground, and that just annoys me. I'd like to just be there.
Right.
I'd like to see things with my own eyes and give my friends hugs at their homes. You know, I've been able to see people outside of town when they've come back from town, but it's a challenge. I wouldn't say it's been extra hard. It's just it puts a little bit of a different spin on our story because we have sort of this impending deadline of when we'd like to be in a livable space, which mm-hmm. is October. So it's a different, yeah, it's like a little bit of a different thing. But it's also been great because it's really forced me to be more available to my son and just to be able to provide for him, hey, like, let's go to the park today, that kind of a reality, because I'm not able to go to town right now.
Yeah.
So it's good. It's a good. It's the best thing for our family. But it definitely, I get antsy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd like to see my house too. Yeah. So, and I'm not sure when that'll happen.
Now, one of the things that's happened because of all of this is you've actually had to cancel concerts. How difficult was that for you as a musician to do?
Well, I hate canceling concerts. I mean, even earlier in June, I was supposed to be in Ontario and I had to cancel. I've got this terrible cold, you know, and stuff like that you can't control. It's been really good for me learning that the people that I work with are amazing and totally understanding and have been really supportive. And it's just a bummer because I'd love to see everybody, and knowing that I'm going to have some time off after having a baby, it's like, oh, I don't know when I'll be back to Alberta or to Ontario, which is just, you know, I don't like that. But at the same time, this is life. And even musicians, as much as we would like to think that we can, you know, just do whatever and make sure the show must go on, well, sometimes it can't. And
yeah.
So it's learning that. And we'll reschedule things that are more local. Mm-hmm. But, everyone's been really great and really understanding.
Now, are you looking at, now you cancel what, pretty well up till the fall now?
I've canceled until the middle of August.
Right. And so have you even started thinking about rescheduling and things like that? Or are you even looking at potentially come mid-August you may have to cancel more because of the way things are going?
Well, I'm only going to be rescheduling shows that are in Alberta. And no, I think no matter what, I'll be able to make a trip to wherever I'm going to play in Alberta. But I will not, I won't be doing anything out of province.
Yeah, once you're getting that far along, your travel's going to be a bit of a challenge anyway, right?
Yeah, it's the combination of being pregnant and not knowing about the home. So,
Now, what's the situation right now? I mean, have you been given any ideas to when? I know they're starting to let people back in, but are you? Have you heard anything more about where you're going to be in terms of being able to get back into your place at all?
I think we get in tomorrow, Wednesday, I'm pretty sure, but, you know, things can change, so mm-hmm. we're planning for that. We'll sort of take it when it comes. We have a plan for what we think is waiting for us as far as our basement, but we're not sure. And we'll just kind of take it from there. Basically what happens is you go, you learn about your home, you get information. You learn about the sort of coding of your home, the color,
mm-hmm. yep.
which tells you how much damage. And then you go to your home and you start cleaning out the basement and your items. And for us, we'll have to clean out the garage as well and then clean up the RV. And then we will start the process of dealing with things like insurance and the government as far as rebuilding.
Now, that might be a challenge for you because if there's been, I mean, I know that I've seen the color coding and it's everything from, you know, green, there's been no damage, it's just water, so you might have to tear up a couple of of rugs and things like that to the point where you've had sewage back up and even structural damage and stuff like that. Do you think it's going to be a challenge for you as well if you get to the point where, you know, you may not be able to go in and help clean things up? And again, you're sitting around and waiting. Have you thought about that possibility right at this point?
Oh, I'm pretty guaranteed that's my future. our neighborhood, definitely all the homes had severe flooding and possible sewage. So, yeah, no, I'll just be hanging out with my son and taking care of him. What I'm trying to do is feed my friends and the people that have been helping. And so last night it was great. You know, everyone came back after working all day covered in everything. And it was so great just to give him a huge plate of spaghetti and just talk and be together. So I'm just trying to be there in a different way. And it's a great moment in my life. I'm really enjoying it.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take one final break, and when we come back, we'll finish our conversation with singer-songwriter Carla Adolph. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. Back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Mama Wing from Carla Adolph's Honeycomb Tomb CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with Carla. In terms of what I've seen happen over the years as I've covered disasters and things like that, there's always been this outpouring of support from people right at the beginning. What are people needing right now in terms of help from outside of the community?
That's a good question. I know that everybody's situation is different. There are some people that still have things like jobs that they can go to, like in places like Calgary and stuff. So there's some people that have lost income altogether who have based their income in High River because all of our businesses have been affected as well.
Mm-hmm.
And some that haven't. If you know somebody that has lost their income, you know, a good way to help them out, just, I don't know, send them a little money or give them a grocery card or something, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, everyone's cleaning up, but it's a really serious situation as far as infrastructure and health in our town. And so our town isn't open to volunteers yet, but eventually when it is, I think that we'll need a lot more help cleaning, and we'll need a lot more volunteer manpower. And then when it comes to the future, I don't know that. I've mm-hmm. never been in a natural disaster like this, and I definitely don't know how it works when you're overcoming things that aren't insurable.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always going to be that challenge. And so I think when people can think about what do I have to give? If somebody has, you know, if somebody's a tradesman and wants to come and donate some time, or somebody's an electrician and wants to come and donate some time, those are the kinds of things that really help people that aren't sure about their ability to recover financially. Like what are they going to have to pay for out of pocket? And, you know, what will be covered with the government and what will be covered with insurance? Those are all questions that our entire town's asking. And so it's been really great. There's already been people that have been offering that, and there's all kinds of equipment there helping people. So I think you got to look at what you have extra of. So if you have, maybe you have some extra baby clothes or something, I don't know, you know, and that's what I've experienced this week is people giving out of whatever extra they have, and when that all adds up, it actually is more than enough
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
for people. And so that would be my encouragement. Just take a look at what you can do. Don't worry about fixing everything. Give the little that you can, and the combination of all that giving is beautiful, and people are getting their needs met.
I think the other thing is, too, is to also try and keep connected with someone who is in that area so that, you know, later on down the road, because you get a lot of this outpouring. I mean, we've seen what's happened in Calgary where you've got, you know, tens of thousands of people coming out and volunteering. But you're also going to look at, for some people, you know, getting back into the house and doing some of the reconstruction and stuff like that, that's not going to take place for months. And so you're also going to need things, you know, 2, 3, 4, 6 months down the road as well. People are still going to be recovering in that and keeping that in mind.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, yes, if you can find somebody in High River or a relationship that is connected to High River that can give you good information and keep you posted, I think that would just be the mm-hmm. best. I've heard of different organizations that are doing things called Adopt a Family, where they find a family.
Mm-hmm.
They just commit to sort of journey through this with them. So that will help cover those needs that come up, mm-hmm. in months later, which is wonderful.
Now, where can I'm assuming that you're going to keep blogging about this and tweeting and letting people know what's going on, especially even with your own situation. Where can people keep up with all of this?
So if they follow on Twitter, my handle, I guess, I don't even know what it's called, is you do the at symbol, then my name, Carla Adolph, and my name is spelled with a K and P-H-E on the end. Also my website, carlaadolph.ca. And if you click on the blog button, I'm blogging at least once a week, but mm-hmm. I'm trying to do a little more as I can. And, yeah, those are the best places. I'm also on Facebook, that kind of thing. But everything is under my name. So
great.
If folks just want to look for my name, that's the best way.
Great. Carla, thanks for your time tonight.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection. And thank you to my guest, Carla Adolph. Be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.